good evening, and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, an evening with Jesus and the Word. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to take this time to thank you for joining me as we get into the Word of God. If you have called our number, area code 323-693-3054, please press the 1 if you have a question or comment, and you will be placed into the caller queue. Otherwise, if you're joining us in the chat room, you may place your question or comment there. I invite you to sit back, relax, get your Bible, your pen, and your paper, and get ready to feast on the Word of God. God bless you.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Like you, yeah. Or heal us like you do. can praise like you. See, there is
no God
like our
God.
There's no one like you who gave your life like you.
Who paid the price?
Who paid our price like you?
There's only one. If you know there's only one, make some noise.
Don't wanna move.
I feel in my life.
Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. How are you? I know, Minister, I love this song too. I'm telling you, this song is awesome. But Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. I'd like to say welcome to Guest 3795 and to In Him Ministries and to those who are calling in through Skype and on the phone lines. God bless you for joining us on tonight. We're actually waiting for our guest, Evangelist Michelle Bless, to call in. She actually did have some emergency that she had to deal with on today. So she was trying to call in. I don't know if she's going to be able to make it on, but we're going to give her a few more minutes. But we just want to, even though, go on and invite the Holy Spirit into this broadcast. And we just want to say thank God. But you know what? The enemy is a liar, and he is defeated in the name of Jesus. And we are not going to give the enemy any glory, but what we are going to do is just praise God. So wherever you are and whatever you do, just begin to praise God and begin to worship him and begin to bless his holy name, because he truly is worthy of all the praise. We just want to praise God today, not asking him for anything, but just praise him. Because he is worthy to be praised. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That song she was just singing said, I can't live without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't move without you. I want to get to that place in my life where I can say that for real, and just say, God, I can't live without you. I can't breathe. I don't want to do nothing without you. And I'm saying that I have not gotten to that point yet in my life where I'm getting there where I can't live without him. I'm getting to the point where I just need God in my life. I need him to think for me. I need him to just be there for me, because this world is just, the things in this world is getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm telling you, without God, what do we have? Without God, where is our joy? Where is our peace? Because if we look at life's circumstances, there is no joy. There is no peace. If we look in the natural eye, there is no help. Hallelujah, except from God. And I just thank God today. And as I walk around and I see things, I say, Lord, I just thank you, because that could have been me. That could have been me. That was me, but you saved me, God. So I just want to say thank you. If God saved you today, if he saved you from anything, your hands ought to be up in the air, and you ought to be telling him thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If he did anything for you today, you ought to be telling God thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If God has saved your soul, if he kept you free from being in a mental institute, if he kept you from suicide, if he kept anybody else from killing you, if he kept you from homelessness, from hunger, from just being crazy out of your mind, you ought to have your hands up in the air telling God thank you. Hallelujah. Because it is him that has kept you, not you. You didn't do it yourself, but it's him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you. I just want to bless your name, because you are worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just want to bless you and thank you, Lord God, and praise you, Lord God, for you alone are worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. I want to thank you for forgiving me for my sins. I want to say thank you, Lord God, for rebuking the enemy. Father, I want to say thank you, Lord God, for being my love, Lord God. I thank you for being my peace, Lord God. I thank you for being my comforter, Lord God. I thank you for being my joy. I thank you, Father, for being my strength. I thank you for being my help in time of trouble, God. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for being my mind regulator, Lord God, hallelujah. hallelujah. When I thought I was losing it, God, you were there and you helped me, and I thank you, God. I give you praise, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. And Father, we invite your Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to join us on this broadcast, to take over in this broadcast, that somebody might be saved, that somebody might be healed, that somebody might be delivered, that somebody might be set free on tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh God, and if not tonight, if this is not their appointed time, we pray, oh God, that if they go back in the archives and hear this broadcast, that they will be set free, saved, delivered, healed, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For your woman, your word said, hallelujah, that Jesus spoke to the woman that had the infirmity for 18 years. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Glory to God, hallelujah. So God, I speak, hallelujah, every woman, every man, every boy and girl, every person listening to this broadcast, Lord God, that they will be loosed from their infirmity, Lord God, whether it's a physical infirmity, a mental infirmity, Lord God, an abusive infirmity, whatever it is, oh God, I pray that they be released and loosed from their infirmity in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we just take the authority of the name of Jesus, and we rebuke, Lord God, the prince of the power of the air in the name of Jesus. Satan, we bind you and command you to loose these airways in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We bind and rebuke all interference in the name of Jesus and command you to hell and never to return in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We cancel every assignment of the enemy that has been set forth for this broadcast. We cancel that assignment in the name of Jesus. We bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father God, we give you all praise. We give you all glory right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We lift you up and praise you right now, God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I bless you, Father God. I bless you. Hallelujah. And give you praise in Jesus' glorious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So without further ado, hallelujah, we do have our evangelist on the line, and we're going to get her in right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Evangelist, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for inviting me. Hey, Sister Teresa and the chat room and the audience who is listening on air, welcome, and thank you for inviting me back and to being obedient to the Lord. You know, that was an awesome, awesome show that we done the other day. But the enemy is running rapid, and he is doing everything he can to keep from letting not only just our sisters and brothers in Christ, but people that are in the world, he don't want them to know that they don't have to hold on to their secret, that they don't have to live in bondage and live in shame, that there is hope by choosing Jesus Christ today. So the Lord asked me to come back and to share my story. And so I ask you, Lord, to let your will be done and not my will. For it is to set the captives free and to give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I give thanks today. Amen. I would like to begin my story when I was 2 years old. At the age of two, you know, normally people have good memory, or some at the age of two might not have any memories at all. But unfortunately for me, I can remember everything that happened to me at the age of two. And my story, I need to say this in the airwave, that it is very traumatic. It is a lot of, it's not really recommended for children. If you have any children under 18 that is listening, I'm asking you to be very mindful for teenagers. But for little children, it is not recommended for little children to hear this story, because it is a very awful, very painful, traumatic story. And I don't want to offend anyone, but the Lord told me to tell the truth, because the truth will set you free. And even though I am serving the Lord today, you have to know where I came from and what I endure. And so I have to describe, and it would be in great detail, but I would not use any foul language. I would not speak that, because I do serve the Lord today. But I would take you into a place that I promise you don't ever want to go. Again, when I was a little girl at the age of two, from 2 to 16 years old, I have watched my dad beat my mother and myself and my siblings. If we were not getting beaten every day, we were getting beaten every other day. That is from the age of 2 to 16. From the age of 6 to 12, while the beating from my dad was still going on, my grandfather approached and took me and made me his girlfriend. I remember him saying that I was going to become his girlfriend. I did not know what that meant. But I will say that my grandfather had me do things to him that only a grown woman is supposed to know about. Only a woman knows as far as how to be with a man and treat a man. My grandfather took my childhood. When my grandfather got tired of me at the age of 12, after having me for 6 years, he said I was too old for him. Then my uncle stepped in and made me his girlfriend, and two of my cousins. So the sexual abuse went on from 6 to 16. The physical abuse went on from 2 to 16. Also, the emotional abuse also. So I'm going to go and talk about some of the little things that I endure as a little girl and as a teenager. My memory of 2 is during a time when we used to wear what is called onesies. Like a whole pajama suit that you wear. It zips up and snaps. And I remember my dad used to grab me a lot and throw me up against the wall. And I would hit my head first. Or sometimes he would throw me against the wall and I would bounce into a couch. But most of the time it was against the wall, sliding down the wall. And I remember this happening all the time. And I used to cry. It used to hurt so bad. My head used to hurt in my whole body used to hurt, you know. And not only did he just throw me against the walls or threw me, you know, to hurt me that way, he did that also to my siblings. He, you know, like I said, he would beat my mother. I mean, my mother would be laying in her own blood, you know. My father used to beat us with his fists, extension cords, broomsticks, switches, anything that wasn't nailed down. He would hit us with it, or he would throw us into it. Half the bones in a couple of me and my siblings' bodies were broken. And I remember that my dad got to the point where he would say, you know, I can't hurt you in your face because you make too much money for the family. So he would beat me from the neck down, and I would have to wear clothes to cover the bruises, or my mom would put makeup on us to cover the bruises, you know. But I had black eyes, and I had broken nose and fractured jaws and broken arms, you know. I never knew anything about toys or playing with kids. I didn't know anything about that because all I saw was abuse. All I saw was my dad beating my mother. And when I say beat, I mean beat. Because, see, you know, you hear people say, oh, they probably got slapped around. No, we didn't get slapped around. We got beaten. We got beaten to whereas we would be unconscious most of the time, and more so my mom than us. Because me and my siblings witnessed my dad beat my mother unconscious, and he would beat her while she was unconscious. I remember we had to do what is called the cold tub. And what that is, if my dad would tell me to go and run the water in the tub and run it, don't put the stopper in yet, let it run until it's cold. And then once it gets icy cold, and you know when it's getting cold, then we got to put the stopper in and then we let the water fill up to the rim of the tub. Then I would have let my dad know that the water was filled in the tub, and he would tell me, B, take your clothes off and stand in attention. So I would take my clothes off after I did this and stood in attention until he'd come upstairs. And he would tell me to get in the bathtub. Once I'm in the bathtub, he would take my head and plunge me down in the water, in and out of the water, in and out of the water, in and out of the water, so many times that I can't even count how many times it was. I need to let you know that I was numb to that because I was used of that happening. Then my dad would reach down and grab my feet and pull me up out of the water and hold me up with my feet, and he would take a switch. Are you still there? Hello? Evangelist, are we still on air?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't know what happened. Okay, and then my dad would grab me by my feet and hold me up and take a switch, and he would whip me with that switch all over my body until blood dripped off of me into the water, and once the water turned red, all of it is when he stopped. And he would drop me in the water and leave. My dad, we would call him Hitler. I mean, we would literally start panicking when we hear him come to the door. It was living hell.
Oh, that's right.
I never told my mother and dad what my grandfather was doing to me at the age of 6 to 12. My grandparents, we would go to their houses in the summertime or every other weekend, and it was like going to Kings Island. So I looked at the point that when my grandfather was doing this to me, I just did an out-of-body, out-of-mind. I made believe it didn't happen because it only lasted a few minutes to me. And I didn't want to tell because it was like, oh, if I tell, then Dad's going to kill Grandpa and we'll never go over there anymore. I figured a few minutes or so with him messing with me was nothing compared to gruesome day in and day out of physical, mental, and emotional abuse from my dad, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And it's sad for a young girl to have to make a decision like that.
Yeah.
I never smiled because I didn't have anything to smile about. My grandmother was an alcoholic, a stone drunk. But my grandfather was an alcoholic, but I can't say he was a stone drunk because he would always mess with me and then pass out. My grandmother, once she gets to drinking, she passed out, she's out to the next day. So she had no idea none of this was going on, that he was doing this to me. And another incident of abuse, I was 6 years old. My father beat my mother so bad that she was laying in a pool of blood. And my mother had this end table. It was at the end of the room. At one of the rooms in our home. And she crawled all the way to that table after my dad beat her and left. And she reached for the table to lift her body up into the chair. On this table, she had a lamp and a Bible, which at the time I'm 6, I saw it as a book, you know. And my mom would open this book, and then she'll look up in the sky like and say, God, forgive him. Or he did not know what he was doing or something like that. And I'm like, what? Who are you talking to? And she said, talking to God. I'm like, who is God? She said, Jesus, he loves you. Love me? No, he don't love me. He don't love me. My mom said, he love you. He love all of us. No. And I'm a little girl. I'm like, no, he don't love me. Because even when all this was going on with me, I knew that what I was enduring was pain. It hurted, and it was awful, and I was sad. And I felt like, I'm like, well, if he loved me, then why is all this happening to us? Why is he allowing Dad to beat you and beat us like this? She said, I was too young to understand. And I said, well, if this is love, then I don't want to know hate. So I would scream out and say, I hate Jesus. I don't want to hear his name. I don't want to hear it. Mothers looked at me. So, you imagine from 2 to 6 and from 6 to 12 and so forth and so forth every day. If it's not every day, it's every other day. I'm being beaten. My mother's being beaten. My siblings being beaten. And I was a sad girl, sad little girl. Oh. I would sit in front of the TV and watch TV and may believe that I was living in someone else's house. For a brief moment, I may believe that I was one of the characters on TV, like, for example, watching the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family and Good Times. I may believe I was living in that household for a brief moment. I used to watch those black and white movies, and I may believe I was one of those men or women, white men or women, because it was white movies. That's all we had growing up. And I may believe I was kin to them. I may believe I was part of their family just for a brief moment every day. So I wasn't allowed to go anywhere that much. Sometimes I could sit out in the front porch and the neighborhood kids can come and sit and play with me. And talking about the neighborhood kids, it was one time I was 9 years old. And by this time, the kids started making fun. They made a comment. They was like, why you don't call your dad dad? Why you call him by his first name? Why you call him Mr. David? Or really, they were saying to me, David, because they had to say Mr. And I was like, I can call my dad dad anytime I want to with my hands on my head and my back turned away. And what happened? Who pulls up? David.
David.
And it felt like my heart dropped down in my feet. And he parking the car, he's getting out the car, and he's walking up towards his porch, you know, coming up the steps, and all the kids was like, hey, Mr. David. And he was like, how y'all doing? And then as soon as he got up to me, he was great past me, I'm like, hey, Dad. And that's all I remember. When I woke up, I was laying on my back. And I had a double barrel shotgun in my mouth. And my dad was sitting over me in a chair, pointing a double barrel shotgun in my mouth.
Unbelievable.
And he clicked it. And he looked at me and he said, B, didn't I tell you not to ever call me MF Dad? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, why do you call me Dad? And tell me the truth. And I was like, the kid dared me, but I wanted to call you Dad. And I couldn't even get the word Dad out. He hit me with the gun. And I turned my side of my face over so the blood can come out so I wouldn't choke. And he looked at me and he said, if you ever call me Dad again, you MFB, I will blow your effing brains out. Do you hear me?
Lord, have mercy.
And I said, yes, sir. He said, now go in the house and tell your mama to clean you up and throw that dress away. You don't ruin your dress. And thinking about that now, the movie that came to my thought was Mother Dearest. I don't know if anyone ever seen that movie.
Horrible movie.
But it was when that woman it was when that woman beat that little girl with a wire hanger.
Yes.
Because she had a that little girl went after that lady left the room. That little girl was sitting on the floor like, oh my God, what is she's crazy. That's what I felt when my dad told me to go in the house and tell my mama to clean me up and throw the dress away because I ruined it. And I wanted to say to him, you ruined it. You caused the blood to come out. That was in my mind. Because you don't say nothing to Mr. David, let alone look. If you look like you're going to say something, believe me, you would be embedded in one of the walls. And I mean that literally. We were taught not to tell, and you didn't tell.
What goes on in the house stays in the house.
We had fear. I got to the point where when my dad, of course, he was an alcoholic, we had an after-hour joint going on, but people would come and buy plates or go downstairs and buy liquor and gamble and all that. And I was real little at the time. I couldn't reach the cups because I used to watch these people laughing and dancing, falling out, hitting their head. I see blood trickle, and they still laughing and going on. So I'm like, it's something in that cup that's making them laugh, and whenever they hurt themselves, they don't feel the pain. And I wanted some of whatever that was in that cup. I was four, I think. But the thing was, for 2 years, I couldn't reach the cup. I was too small. So I have to say I was four. But when I turned six, I was able to reach the cup. And that's when I became an alcoholic because I was drinking every day. No one knew I was drinking. And so I would meet my father at the door when he would come in because he would look to go beat my mother or one of us. So I'd meet him at the door to agitate him. And he would beat me until he'd fall out. And one time my mother came in, he had fell on top of me because he had his hand gripped into my shirt because he had beat me and he passed out. But I was numb. I didn't feel nothing. I'm sharing my story, and it's about to get more traumatized. That is just the beginning of when I was a little girl. I want to say one thing to go back on, and it was about my grandfather. But I got to go a little further than that for you to understand both sides of my family and how I was born into darkness and so much hatred. My mother is Jamaican. So she has 22 sisters and brothers. My grandfather, I never met him on my mother's side because she was pregnant when she was, he died when she was carrying me. And she was warned not to go to the funeral, but she did anyway. Because she didn't believe in the voodoo and the curses. So it was so easy to do things. When people don't believe it, it's so easy for you to get manipulated, you don't even know it. Because I tell people, God is real, but so is Satan and his imps. When God made the kingdom of hell, he made it for Satan and his imps. But now it's being filled up with humans because people are choosing to serve Satan. Most of the people are down there being misled, too, by people who cause them to go to hell. But God is a person, is a being that is looking for people to choose. He gives you a choice, free will. To choose who you will serve this day. And so my purpose is to come out and to share my story, to let people know that if you're in bondage, that you don't have to be in bondage, that okay. God is real. I was an atheist. I was Satan's bride. Hey. They thought they had me. But I serve Jesus Christ today. The Jesus Christ that sits next to Abba Father in heaven, sits on the right-hand side of God, who came down here, left royalty, who came down here in flesh, who was crucified for all of our sins.
Hallelujah.
And when he died, his spirit went down to hell first, snatched the keys from Satan, let some people out too. Today, I tell people, don't compare Satan to God.
Don't.
I heard someone, let me give you an example of what I mean. I'll go back to my story. I need to get this out here. Some people say, well, what's the opposite of Satan? They say God. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
Satan ain't on the same level as God because God is the creator of all creation. He made us and everything that's in this earth.
That's right.
So what is a comparison of Satan, Michael, the archangel, the one who kicked his butt and threw him out of heaven, that's who he's compared to. I need to put that out there. Satan is the father of lies.
Yes,
he's a manipulator and a conner. He's a trickster.
Yes.
He knows the Bible better than any human being on earth. And he knows his end.
He sure
he
does.
He knows his end. The Satan and his imps don't sleep. They are 24/7 looking for a soul that they can manipulate, use, con. Their purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan never thought that I would be a servant of God today. He thought I was going to serve him all my life because all I knew was him. But God.
But, hallelujah, thank you, Lord.
Who reached down. In hell, I'm talking about in the darkest of dark. I'm telling you what happened to me as a little girl, as a teenager. I'm 16 by this time. I went into the military. My mom signed me in. I graduated early from high school, and when you graduate early from high school, you're not 18. Your parents, you have to get permission from your parents to allow you to go into the military. My mother signed for me, and my mother took a beating for that. And for the first time I was on an airplane going into boot camp, I waited to exhale. Because for the first time, I was free for a moment. But all I did was put away what happened to me as a little girl and as a teenager. I made believe it didn't happen. I made believe I was a whole different person. I went into the military. I did 2 years, and then my commander of the base put a Mickey in my drink. When I say drink, it's a pop, a soda pop. And he raped me. I was raped more than once. I had a complete nervous breakdown. They didn't know what to do with me. So they didn't want to pay, so they threw me out like I was a piece of garbage. I came back out of the military at 19, doing 3 years in the military. I'm going to take you back to when I was 14 years old. I used to sell drugs. So when I at 19, I came back, I had a hatred for men. I had a hatred for men. I didn't know no good. I never experienced love. I never was told I love you. No one ever said, Michelle, I love you. I never experienced it. I didn't know what it felt like. So all I had was resentment, bitterness, and anger. I'm going to take you a look back when my father, I told you about my mother, 22 sisters and brothers, and my grandfather was a voodoo priest. On my father's side, 17 sisters and brothers from down south, and they were witches and warlocks. I was brought into this world to infiltrate the enemy's camp. I saw things and did things that if a human being would see, they would drop dead in presence. The devil thought he had me. When I tell people what I see, I have the gift of discernment, so I can see in the atmosphere, in the spiritual realm. I don't share some things that I see because the Lord tells me not to do that. If I see things that is not of God around other people, so-called Christians, I don't go up to them and say, oh, you got this and that. I just immediately pray. See, I was never a threat to the kingdom of hell because I was part of them. But today, when I wake up, the kingdom of hell shakes. They scream out and say, oh, my God, Michelle is woke. We got to go. Because I have power over the kingdom of hell. My foot is always on Satan's neck, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am a soldier promoted to lieutenant to now a general in God's holy army to destroy the kingdom of hell, to let people know what I endure and what I went through, from being a Satanist and an atheist to a Jesus Christ servant today. God is real. You don't have to live in bondage. I am a living witness. I was beaten, raped, molested, left for dead. I suffered in darkness and abuse for over 40-something years, nonstop. You got to know that God is real, because I still have my mind.
Yes.
Many people can endure one or two things and don't have their mind today. But I'm here to tell you that God is real. He kept my mind. When I was on psych wards, when they were shooting dope in me, for me to lose my mind, this God that I didn't know at the time kept my mind for such a time as this. When I tried to commit suicide, I stopped counting after 30-something times, where they brought me back to life twice, pumped my stomach many times. But God.
But God.
I was married to a man 7 years ago who beat me so bad that they took 76 pictures of 76 injuries. I was unrecognized, but now there is no residue, for he had put me in a furnace to renew, to restore, and to refine, and he took all residue and scars off of me, but God.
Thank you.
So I know he's real. Didn't no man bring me to Jesus, and ain't no man going to take me from Jesus, because I know he's real. I have an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I talk about Jesus from the time I wake up to when I go lay down. And I'm talking to everyone who is listening. The devil do not want you to hear this story because he don't want you to know who he is. And he don't want you to know that you got power over darkness. You got power over the kingdom of hell. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the devil don't want you to know that you got angels that are assigned to you. They're waiting for you to tell them what to do. They can't move until you tell them to. You got to call your angels out. The Lord wants me to tell you what I say every morning. And this is how it goes. Father God, I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for allowing me to see and walk and talk and hear, Lord God. Father God, wash my mind, body, soul, spirit, and flesh. And equip us all with your whole complete armor of God. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. And complete me with your whole complete armor of God. You have to equip yourself with the whole armor in the morning and at night. Father God, wash my mind, body, soul, spirit, and flesh. And equip me with your whole complete armor of God. Listen to the next line. Legions and legions and legions of angels. Can you hear me still? Can anybody hear me?
We hear you.
Okay, because my phone, see, I know the devil trying to come into the airway. So just bear with me. And if y'all can't hear me, say something so I know that y'all can't hear me. But the next line is legions and legions and legions of angels that are assigned to me. Come forth to me now and surround me, comfort me, guard me, keep me, protect me, and keep the enemy away in that bay. For no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I say that every day over myself, over my family, over my household, over my children. And at night, you tell your angel to protect you in your sleep, to protect your soul and your spirit. And they will do exactly what you tell them to do. The devil don't want you to know that. The devil cannot read your mind. He don't know what you are saying in your mind. Most of my conversation with Jesus Christ is in my mind. The other half is out loud. Because when you say the name of Jesus, hell shakes. When you say the name of Jesus Christ, they scream and run. They can't stand to hear the name of Jesus.
Can't stand it.
If you hear any activities or something that ain't right in your household, you grab your Bible and you turn to the book of Revelation. I'm getting ready to give you a secret, that kingdom of hell. They cannot deal with hearing the words of the book of Revelation out loud. You hear any activities around your home, or if you feel anything that is not all right, you open the book. You open the Bible to the book of Revelation and begin with chapter 18, and you read it out loud. And I guarantee that anything that is not of God will immediately leave.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
I am here to share my story. It is raw and uncut, but it is real. I used to eat out of garbage cans. I used to sleep under abandoned bridges. I used to sleep on park benches. I used to sleep in abandoned houses. And when I say I ate out of garbage dumpsters, I ate out of garbage dumpsters. I used to go behind restaurants when they closed because they throw away the extra food, and I would eat out of garbage dumpsters. I used to smoke crack. I used to pop pills. I used to snort cocaine. I used to be a beautiful model back in the day. I used to manipulate and use men. It didn't matter whether they were single, married, young, or old. Because I wanted to destroy men. But I later found out I was only hurting myself. After my second husband left me, I was married twice in the world because I didn't know God then. But I am happily married today. But I'm married to a man of God. And I waited for God to put us together as a union. Because God said, he that finds a good wife, not a wife that finds a good husband. By the time I was beaten and left for dead 7 years ago, I didn't even want to see a man, let alone talk to one. So I became Jesus' wife, and he became my husband. Because first he said, I have to teach you how to be a wife. But first, I have to teach you to love yourself. I was good to a man to no relationship. I never knew love. I never experienced love. So God put me in the furnace. He put me in the furnace to be renewed and restored and refined. I went to school of hard knocks from 2007 to 2010. I went to the College of Jesus Christ 101. I'm a God chaser. I dissect, I marinate, and devour his word. I have no choice. I love God. Because, see, I have unspeakable peace and I have unspeakable joy that I never in my life experienced until I met God. Because I was a woman that was walking around, turning her back, watching her back at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never knew who was going to, I didn't know who was going to hurt me or who was going to try to steal from me or who was going to try to take me out. That was the life that I lived. But when I surrendered, because I was asked to surrender, because God sent a woman who was a Christian, wanted to talk about Jesus. I didn't want to hear about no Jesus. I had a broken ankle and two black eyes walking up the street with crutches. And she said to me, are y'all still there?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I said, and she said to me, hey, sister, won't you come over here and let me come towards you so I can pray over that leg? I said, prayer ain't going to help me. Why did I say that? This woman said she saw such a dark entity around me that she was afraid to come over there. But when I said prayer didn't work, she said, and she went past all that. Are you still there, Teresa?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let me put you on the speaker. I know what happened. I'm glad it happened because my Bluetooth went dead. Okay, can you hear me now, everybody?
We can hear you.
Okay, so when I said that, that did it right there. The fear left. Because, see, when you tell a person who loves the Lord that prayer don't work, that's a lie. We get strong, don't we, being servants of God. You can't say that to me, that prayer don't work, because prayer does work. But anyway, she ran across that street at me, and I'm trying to run, and I couldn't run because I'm on crutches. But this lady touched me and spoke the name of Jesus, and I fell into her arms. And for the first time, I felt something that I have never, ever, ever felt before. And for some reason, I felt safe. You got to understand, listeners, I never felt safe in my life because the safety net was taken away from me at the age of 2. From when my father beat me and my siblings and my mother, and when my grandfather took me as his girlfriend and made me do things that only a woman's supposed to know. And then he did this to me from 6 to 12. And I got too old for my grandfather. I need to mention that by the time I turned 12 years old, one day we was in the over my grandparents' house. And my little sister, of course, is getting bigger. And I didn't know my grandfather was looking at her in that way. But I'll never forget me and my sisters, we were downstairs playing. I heard my grandfather call my name. I went up there. He said, "You know, you got too old for me now, little girl. So go tell your sister to come upstairs." I said, Grandpa, I'll take care of you. I'm your girl. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just don't touch my sister." He said, "You heard what I said." Well, I'm going to tell you something, listeners. For the first time, I stood up. I looked my grandfather in his eyes, and I pointed my finger at him, and I told him, "I'll kill you dead before I let you touch my sister. I will expose you." And my grandfather did not touch my sister. Now, I didn't give him the opportunity to anyway, because everywhere I went, I didn't care if I went to the bathroom, I had my sister with me. My little sister didn't get beat by my dad. It was me and my brothers and my mother, and I protected my sister. My life was nothing but misery. Now I'm going to take you back to when I got saved. This woman who put her hand on me, she held me and took me into her church. I sat in the back row. I seen this pastor preaching over the pulpit. And I seen this light. I seen this bright beam with a sword behind this pastor as he was walking back and forth on the pulpit. And I said to myself, "What is that?" And someone spoke to me. And it wasn't that demon. Oh, the voice I used to listen to a lot, those demons, they used to talk to me all the time. For any listeners that's coming in, you might think I probably have lost my mind, but no, I didn't lose my mind. I was a little girl that was brought into slavery of the dark world, to where my grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side were voodoo priests, and on my father's side, witches and warlocks. My grandfather used to wear black robes. It had the pentagrams on the ground, on the floors, and the candles, and the Ouija boards, and the drinking of blood, the stuff you watch on TV. You try to tell somebody what you're seeing, you get beaten for telling. That's what I went through. So I was used to sitting around watching these people with these robes on and candles and Ouija boards. I was watching the things they were doing that you might laugh at and say they're real, but it is. And the devil loves when people think they ain't real, but they're real. I used to watch levitations and all kinds of crazy stuff as a little girl. And then I was given power. Or at least I thought I was. But that's because I thought they were my friend. But let's go back into that church where I was sitting here watching this pastor walk back and forth. And I think this heavenly being, I guess, I know now what it was, which was a heavenly being, but I got to take you back where my mind was at this time. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it wasn't evil, and it didn't stink. See, demons have a foul smell. They have a stench that is so unbearable. But, of course, I'm used to the stench. I'm used to smelling them. But I watched this heavenly being behind this pastor with the sword and this beautiful white robe, and I smell lilac. I smell flowers. So I was curious. But that's how the Lord got me. Because as he gave me the gift of discernment to see darkness, he opened, he took the scales off and allowed me to see the light for the first time. This lady took time to be with me, and they brought me, I'll make a long story short, they took me, brought me to salvation, but I still felt the same way, and I cried out in this church office, and they stood by. I cried out for the first time, and I said, I'm tired of living. I want to die. But Jesus, I call the name of Jesus, the name that my mother, when she was beaten, used to talk to. If you are real, then help me. Help me. I haven't looked back since because he helped me.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the first time, I seen several angels came around me, and they are real. And they held me. And I heard Jesus talk to me. And I remember being when I was a babe in Christ, and I used to tell people how Jesus talked to me, and they would say, Jesus ain't talking to you. And I would cry. I was a baby. You know, I was a babe in this walk. And Jesus would come and say, you know my voice. I love that scripture. He said, we would know his voice. The sheep would know my voice. I know his voice. You can begin to have an intimate and personal relationship with God. Because that's what he wants us to have, a personal and relationship with him. He will set you free.
Yes, he will.
He will deliver you and he will heal you. And I'm going to tell you what he done for me in order for you to help yourself. First of all, you can't do it by yourself.
Okay.
That's one. And the pain will not go away. You can't act like it don't happen. I told my story because if you're holding on a secret, this is the day where it's time for you to let go of your secret. And what I mean by letting go is to give it to God. He will walk through this with you. The Lord told me I needed to go back to that little girl. And I remember when I would be laying in bed and Jesus would hold me because he's my daddy. He told me, I realized that even though I was an adult woman, that little girl was still in me. She never grew up because her childhood was taken away at such a young age.
Yes.
If you are abused as a little girl, you grow up your body. You mature your body, but your mind don't do that. You still that little girl. And for the first time, I was being held. I was told I was special by God. I'm sharing the intimacy that I have with my father. I'm going to tell you, the first day I got saved, and they took me the following week down to Atlanta because to meet T.D. Jakes and Paula White and all them down there, I was on the bus, and the Lord told me to look up in the sky. And I seen all these people. They were clapping and shouting, and there was angels all around them. I said, who are these people? The Lord said, these are the witnesses that have been waiting for such a day as this for you to be saved. You don't know your purpose, but you will know your purpose. I used to be spit at. I used to be kicked. I used to be talked about. I used to be abused so bad in the world. But it's even worse when you come into the church.
You better say it. Huh?
And you come around people who say they love Jesus, and all of a sudden I'm being talked about in church. I said, God, I left the church. God said, go back. I said, I don't understand. Say, go back. See, I had to go back to get some experience of church folks under my belt, too, so I can preach about that, so I can help the ones who are in bondage in the house of God. I'm not saying all church folks. I'm saying some. Because we got sisters and brothers in Christ that are bound, that are holding on to secrets. We got people that has been kicked on, talked about, spit on. What about when you trust people with your business, with that pain? And then it gets all in the church, and you think the church would embrace you. And they would say, oh, we got you. We're going to pray with you. But instead, you get talked about. I'm sharing what I endured. But God, he taught me to pray for my enemies. He said, stand still, my daughter Michelle. Stand still and know that I am God. And I would make your enemies your footstool.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I was never the one to talk about some of my sisters and brothers in Christ, because I would not give the enemy no victory whatsoever. See, I go out to destroy the kingdom of hell when I deal with the world. But when I meet sisters and brothers and I say some, they don't know no better. You pray for them. Because I told myself it's not as bad as it was. It ain't no worse than where I came from. But I felt like even though it wasn't no better, but it was. I said, I can deal with this with God. So he told me to pray. So he took a woman that slept on park benches, that ate out of garbage dumpsters, that went from being a millionaire to going around a corner at a park somewhere, being with a man for a $20 bump. This is raw and uncut. Drugs is the devil. This thing, sin, different stuff that is going on in the world, that's demonic. That's the devil. He is so cunning. He don't want you to know it's him. So he'll come sneaky. I'm gonna give you. Okay, you have a caller. Go ahead. I'm gonna be quiet so you can bring the caller on.
You can keep talking. Finish that statement you were making.
I want to say that how cunning the devil is. What he'll do. I'm gonna give an example of how cunning the devil is, real quick. Especially when it comes to our children. They have this woman who is one of the number one bestseller, as far as her books and movies in the world. She made billions. Not millions. Billions.
Mm-hmm.
Don't blow your mind who it is. And she's a Wicca. You know what a Wicca is?
Mm-hmm.
A witch. I'm going to tell you who it is. The woman who made Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
We buy these little books and they watch these little cartoons and little movies, and you think, oh, it's okay. It's just a movie. It's just a book. It's just a cartoon. You better watch. You better look at what your kids are looking at, or your grandkids.
That's
because
right.
Just a cartoon is a door for a demon to come in.
That's right. Folks don't believe that.
So, like I said, I'm telling you about my story, but the Lord has me also telling about the different ways that the demons come in. I know them all. I hope I was able to reach someone. Know that you're not by yourself. Quickly, I'm going to say this. If you're going through anything, there are different types of abuse. There's emotional abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, and spiritual abuse. If you experience any one of that, I challenge you to first surrender it to God.
Yes.
To say, God, I don't know how. When I cry out to Jesus, I said, I don't know who you is, but this Jesus who my mama served, I need you to help me. Lord told me first to get a piece of paper and a pencil. I said, what is this for, Lord God? I want you to write down
what happened to you. You ain't going to be able to do it in one night. We're going to start together. That was a four-year journey. Writing stuff down, crying, snot-nosing, falling asleep, talking it out, crying, snot-nosing.
Yes.
The point is, I allowed myself to cry, shout, got mad, all that, and God was there with me to endure it. He put two women in my life to help me through that journey, and now I am set free, I am delivered, and I am
healed. Thank you, Jesus.
The name of my book is called Out of the Darkness, The Michelle Bless Story. My website is outofdarknessministry.com. If you want to reach me, there are two ways you can reach me, because my ministry is to be here to help other people. I don't have a secular job because I don't have to work a secular job because the Lord takes very good care of me. So I am available to help. I have a 24-hour hotline because I have, you know, sometimes I do the suicide hotline. I do the prayer hotline. So if you need someone to talk to or you just need someone to listen, I'm here. You can reach me at outofthedarknessministries@yahoo.com. That's my email. Or the 24-hour hotline, area code 513-485-3518. Abbas is Teresa Scott, has all my information. So feel free to call back into this, and she'll give you my information if needed. So now I will come bring it to a closing to allow my sister Abbas is Teresa Scott to speak. And again, thank you for inviting me. Thank you, listeners, for listening.
Amen. I just want to say thank God and praise God for this testimony because I tell you, like I said the other night, I've been through some stuff in my life, but my God, just listening to your testimony, whew, Lord have mercy. I take gladly what I went through compared to what you went through. My Lord. And like you said, some people went through a couple of things in their life and they couldn't take it, but you went through this thing, but God brought you out and you are a warrior for him, and I thank God for that. I wanted to know if anybody in the chat room had any questions or comments. If you do, please feel free to call 323-693-3054. We do have somebody on the phone line. I believe they're calling in from Skype because I don't see a phone number. They did not press the 1, but I'm going to ask them if they have anything to say at this time. Hello, caller. Thank you so much for holding and listening to the broadcast. Did you have a question or a comment tonight? Hello?
Well, that's okay. Maybe they don't want to speak, but I want to say to anyone who is listening or who is in the chat room that God is a good God and that he is a restorer. God is a, he is a God, he is the creator of all creation. He is a suddenly God, an on-time God, a right-now God, a waymaker God, a God that makes a way out of no way. He is the great I am, Lord of lords and King of kings.
Amen. Amen.
And he will take away your tears and your pain. And know that you don't have to go through this by yourself. You should have enough confidence in to take that chance and that willingness to step out and go ahead and allow the Lord to help you, especially after hearing what I endured. I was a person that went through 40-something years of imprisonment, pain, and suffering. And the Lord delivered me and healed me. And I thought I would never experience happiness or joy or love. For the first time in my life, being 51 years old, I experienced love with a human being, with the opposite sex, which is a man. And I never thought that I would ever endure or have. But because he put me in the furnace to first teach me about myself, to release the pain that I have, and to prepare me for a wife, that I am now married to a wonderful man of God who supports my ministry and showed me that love is real.
Amen. Evangelist Michelle, I just wanted to ask you a question because you said something. You said that God had you begin to write down, you know, your pain, and you had to go back to that little girl. A lot of times people go to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever they go, and they sit in church for year after year after year without getting delivered. Sometimes people don't get delivered because they're scared and they don't want to go back to that place of hurt. And I'm saying that out of experience because I didn't want to go back to my place of hurt because it was too painful. I didn't want to remember that. I didn't want to feel that pain again. But your process of going through that, you say you were, you know, you would write your things down and you'd be crying and you'd be snotting. And you said it took 4 years.
It took 4 years. Yes, it took 4 years. I had to go through a cleansing. I had to go through. It depends on you. See, I could have let go of this a long time ago, but I just couldn't. I didn't know how. Okay. And then the process, it took for me 4 years. And thank God, because today I'm free. I went through a lot in my life that was very, very painful, that is hard, that at that time was hard to talk about and to deal with. I didn't know how to deal with nothing else but what I endured. And mind you, before I met Jesus, when I was in with the devil, and I was, don't you know that when you suffer a trauma, what we want to do is, this is one thing a person that who suffers trauma do, we want to medicate it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to feel. We don't want to feel. We don't want to think about it. So what do? We are going to do something to take away the pain. Now, it's either going to be a man or a woman. It could be sometimes people use sex for that, or drugs. For me, drugs, you know, and using men. I didn't, you know, I mean, that's all I knew. But the Lord taught me and said, "You are a queen. You are a princess."
Oh, wow. Her call just dropped. You know, the enemy is a liar, but we thank and praise God for her testimony. I'm going to see if she's going to call back in. But I was asking her that question in particular because I know when I was going through my process of healing, one of the things that I had to do in order to get my healing and to get my deliverance was to forgive. And that's what I wanted to ask her. And we do have Evangelist Michelle back on the line. And Evangelist Michelle, what I was saying is one of the things that I had to go through in order to go through my process and begin the healing and deliverance process was to forgive my abusers. I had to actually say their name. I had to actually say what they did to me. And I had to actually say I forgive them. But I had to ask God. I had to cry out to God and say, "God, help me to forgive, because right now I hate them. I hate what they did to me. I hate the fact that they actually scarred me. And I'm at this age right now that I'm still feeling this pain. God, help me." And when I began to do that and began to write, just like you said, and began to write these things out and admit that these things happen, okay, God was able to come in and begin to heal me. And a lot of people are scared to go through that process. But as Evangelist Michelle said, and as I can say to you very definitely and most clearly, is that if you begin to allow God, allow him to begin the process. Don't go through another 40 years. Don't go through another 5 minutes. Don't go through another however long of holding on to this pain. God has sent this message for you to be set free. God has sent Jesus Christ into the world to set you free. Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." But you got to trust him. You got to trust Jesus. You got to trust him to know that he's not another person on a list that's going to hurt you too. He's here to help you. He's here to heal you. He's here to deliver you and set you free. But you got to trust him. You got to give him a chance. Because no matter how much we drink, no matter how many pills we take to mask the pain, no matter how much we sex it up, no matter what we do, that's not going to take it away. It's still going to be there. But once we begin to deal with the truth, when we begin with the truth, the Bible tells us that God deals with the inward man. He deals with the inward. He deals with that stuff that we're holding on to, and he wants us to let it go. And once we begin to deal with that part of it, and some of you, I know, some of you are like, I don't want to do that, Teresa. I don't want to do that, Michelle, because it hurts too bad. Well, guess what? If you don't, you're going to continue hurting. You're going to continue hurting. And Jesus, let me tell you, there's nothing crazy about God. There's nothing crazy about Jesus. There's nothing crazy about the Holy Spirit. He sent this message twice. The first time it was interrupted, but this time it's coming through very clearly. If you're listening to this broadcast, you have the opportunity right now to be free. You have the
Absolutely.
Opportunity right now to be made whole, right now, in the
That's
name
Teresa,
of Jesus.
Let me say this real quick. I want to add to what you just mentioned. For me, listen. Of course, after, you know, you got to first deal with what you went through. It was a long process because first I had to learn how to love myself. I had to learn to forgive me. And then I had to allow myself to go through all those pains I had to endure. I had to go back and think about when I was a little girl, how my dad beat me, or when my grandfather made me his girlfriend, and then my uncles, and then my cousin, and then the commander in the military, and then so on, so on, so on. Then, after I got through all that, then, that was a couple years, then the Lord said, it was to now I have to forgive my dad. What was the first thing I said was, oh, no, I hate him. I don't forgive him. I mean, I couldn't even imagine forgiving my dad. But let me tell you, it's possible. Because today, me and my dad, we have a relationship. He gave himself to the Lord a couple of years ago. We have a relationship. Well, I don't wait for him to tell me that he – for him to admit no wrong, I'm saying I got set free. See, holding on to bitterness and anger, meaning when you hate someone, it eats you up, sisters and brothers. It eats up your spirit. It keeps you in bondage. And don't get me wrong, as a witness, you have every right to feel that anger towards someone who hurt you. But
That's
I'm
right.
telling you, through Jesus Christ, you ain't got to do it by yourself. That's what I was saying. It's possible because I done it, but I didn't do it by myself. The Lord helped me, and he put people here to help me. And that is why I came to share my story, and the same thing with Evangelist Teresa. You got to learn. I don't know how long it's going to take. Each individual is different, but I know if you ask God, he will give it to you. He will set you free.
He will. He will. If you want it, he will set I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you. We want to do this again because you're not done with this testimony. I know that.
No, you know, I got two more book stuff with this. That is a little bit.
Guess
what?
There's some things that I want to add because a lot of people do not know my story either. They've heard bits and pieces of it, but being an abused child, I had to go back to that place. When my ex-husband took my children away from me, I had to go back to that place of feeling the pain of him taking my children from me. I had to go back through that pain of you know, the emotional abuse that I experienced being in foster homes and being abused physically, putting in a bathtub with a tub of water and being beat with an extension cord. I had to go and visit those places again, and it hurt like hell. I ain't going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
It hurt so bad. I didn't think I was going to come out of it because it hurt so bad. But I tell you, God was healing me. He was, and he's still healing me. He's still healing me from. He's still healing me. If I sit here today and tell you that I've been completely delivered from every single thing, I'll be lying to you. But God is still healing me from some things that I have pushed down so far because it hurts so bad, and he's bringing it back and showing me, daughter, I want you whole. And when he speaks to you like that and can tell you, daughter or son, I want you whole, what else can you do but submit to his deliverance process? It is a process, just like she said. And I'm still going through a process. I'm still going through a process, but I thank God that each time he takes me through another level because, you know, we got levels of stuff that we got to get out. Levels of stuff that we got to get delivered from, levels of stuff that we got to get healed from. But when God began to do the healing process, I'll tell you what, I felt like a new person. I was screaming, I was crying. I was like you, Michelle, snotting and everything, just screaming and crying because I had had enough, but God was healing me. And don't you know that God is not a respecter of persons? Don't you know that what God did for Michelle and what he's doing for Michelle and what he's doing for me, Teresa, what he's doing, don't you know that if you've been through abuse, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. If you've been through abuse, don't you know that the same God who is healing and delivering us is the same God who will heal and deliver you? Don't you know that?
Hallelujah! He will get you back what the kangaroo worm stole from you.
He will do it.
I'm a witness.
He don't
I'm
want you to be free. He don't want you to be free. He wants you to stay bound up, just like she said. He doesn't want the ministry that God has put in you to come forth. He wants you to stay bound up. He wants you to stay depressed. He wants you to stay angry. He wants you to be a secret alcoholic. He wants you to be a secret pill popper. He wants you to stop sending up people that back there. You know, you get home and you smoking weed, or you go into wherever you do, you know, into pornography. He wants you to stay there because he don't want you to be free. But I'm here to tell you, and I agree with my sister Michelle, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you want to be free, if you want to be free, you can be free. The process right now. You can begin the process right now. See, God knows your pain. He knows your pain. But you got to be able to trust him. You can't trust nobody else. You can trust Almighty God. You can trust him. He's not going to spread your business all over the world. He's not going to abuse you anymore. He's going to love you. He's going to love that death out of you. He's going to love that hurt out of you. He's going to love that pain out of you if you let him. And you can get that right now. You can experience the love of God right now, right where you are. If you're listening live, you can experience it right now. If you're going to listen to this in the archives, you can experience it while you're listening to it in the archives, because God knows no time. Time, what is time to God? What is time to God?
Yes.
Trust and believe him. The Bible says, whatever you pray, ask for, believing, doubting nothing, you can have it. Whatever you ask according to my will, you can have it. And you know it's God's will for you to be healed. You know it's God's will for you to be delivered. You know it. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed. Come on now. Come on now. Don't let the devil keep you bound anymore. Come on now and get free. Come on and get free. Come on and let him heal you. Glory to God. Come on and let him deliver you. Come on and let God love you. Because guess what? You're worth it. Maybe nobody's ever told you this, but you are worth it. I wish you guys could be here on tonight. We're having a women's fellowship at my apartment, and we're going to have a mask. I'm going to have everybody put a mask on, and I'm going to have them look in the mirror, and then I'm going to have them take that mask off. See, a lot of us are walking around with masks on, but God wants us to take the mask off. Take the mask off. Whoever that person was that was abused, that's not you anymore. Come on. Deal with it and come on and get healed tonight. Deal with it. Come on and get delivered tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
All the name of Jesus.
He's waiting for you right now. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. The Bible says the righteous runneth into it and is saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Come on, run on into the name of Jesus. Run into the name of Jesus. Run into the name of Jesus and let him heal you. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We have 90 seconds left on this broadcast. But I beg you, like the Apostle Paul, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will allow him to heal you and set you free in the name of Jesus. Evangelist Michelle, this is not the end of this. You are coming back on again. You'll be back on again, and I believe that more people are going to get healed and set free and delivered in the name of Jesus. I believe this was ordained by God, and I believe that whatever God had planned is going to happen in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We're getting ready to close out on this broadcast, and everybody in the chat room, Brother Dre, Exposing Demons, In Him Ministries, Michelle Bless, our guest, thank you so much for joining us. And call on the line, thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you. Look on my page, Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, Blog Talk Radio and Evening with Jesus in the Word, for updates on who's going to be on the broadcast and when Evangelist Michelle Bless is going to be back on the air. God bless you. God bless you. You can be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen.